Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's going on? It's Kevin Deers here from Metal Shop. Before I jump into this week's episode of Metal Shop's Backstage Pass with Dave from Jungle Rot, I quickly wanted to mention the show that we are talking about. It's coming up this Tuesday at Club Sur, and it's $17 advance, 23 day of show, 21 and over only, and it's at Club Sur, kind of in the Soto area. It's going to be Jungle Rot, their Call to Arms U.S. tour with Internal Bleeding. This one's going to be awesome. I will see you there. Again, that's this coming Tuesday, June 7th. And if you're listening to it afterwards, well, you missed a killer show, or what will definitely be a killer show. Now here's my interview with Dave from Jungle Rot. It's Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Hey, this is Kevin here for talking with Dave Matrice from Jungle Rot. They have a new album that's actually out now, A Call to Arms, out now on Unique Leader. First off, man, I was looking... And I didn't even realize before jumping on here, 30 years of Jungle Rot, 2022. Is that right?
That's right, man. It's pretty amazing, huh? I joined in 95, so I'm a little short, but the band 1 year short, you know. But It is pretty amazing, man. I mean, who would have thought, you know, looking back when I first started in high school and, you know, I remember going to record stores and going through records and, oh, buying this because of the cover and stuff. Mm-hmm. And here we are 30 years later and, you know, and playing with a lot of them bands, and I'm fans of a lot of those bands, and you know, some of them appeared on my album.
Yeah,
who would have thought, you know? Yeah. And that means a lot, you know. What an achievement we achieved, you know, in 11 CDs in itself. Holy cow, right?
So, you know, it hits that point where you realize you've been playing death metal longer than you haven't.
Yeah, exactly, man. I mean, it's pretty crazy, man. I mean, it's just. I'm grateful for where this band's taken me and how long we've been doing it, and still labels taking a chance and working with us. You know, it means a lot, and because we still want to do it and enjoy it. You know, it's harder. It gets harder every year for us, but we still enjoy it somewhat.
Well, you know, you mentioned it gets harder every year for you. What keeps you motivated then to, like, you know, because, you know, you could always just be like, all right, I'm just going to, you know, do a regular 9-to-5, or, you know, maybe you do have a regular job too as well. But, you know, what keeps you motivated to, like, grind it out and continue to, like, play pretty inaccessible underground music to, like, the mainstream, you know?
Just the love of it still. It's pretty amazing. You know, I still have a passion for it. It's hard to say that, you know, it's getting harder, I should say. And I still have a passion. I have a lot of things that I still want to achieve, you know, in the band that I haven't. And I think those are the fights that keep me going to try to get to those. And I won't be settled until I get there, you know.
And it also, you know, I'm not to put words in your mouth, but, like, you know, it's afforded you opportunities to play in front of people that you may have never seen if you weren't in a band, you know, like, you may play in places that you may have never seen, you know.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And that's one thing we always look at. I mean, this band has took us everywhere, and I never would have been there if I wouldn't have been in the band. You know, we're always grateful for that when we get over to Europe and South America, because we could never afford going over there on a trip. I mean, it'd be crazy, you know, and we get to, you don't see much, but at least you know you're there. You know, it's not a vacation ever, but we get to see a little bit here and there in between, you know.
That's awesome. So, you know, obviously the thing that really affected the release of this album, or the release of all music, the touring of the everything, the global pandemic, did that, you know, hamper or put a wrench on this album at all? Or did it affect you in a positive way? Did you guys have more time to put on it? How did the pandemic affect this album?
It did affect it a little bit, not too bad, but when we got done doing the cycle for the self-titled, you know, we did the 2-year cycle touring, and we just finished, and right when we finished we had to start writing, and then it hit then, so the timing was right for that at least. But we finished the album within a year, and we sat on it, and we've never done that before. You know, we're used to turning it in, and 3 months later you're on the road promotion and you're ready to go, you know. And it was hard to sit on it for a year because we wanted to do some, and we found ourselves starting to pick at a little bit, remixing it different because we have so much time. And, you know, we started playing with it, and that wasn't a good thing, you know, and we end up going back to the original mix, you know, that we actually did in the beginning. You know, we started doing a big circle because we had too much time on our hands, you know. We're getting in trouble with it.
It was good the way it was.
It was. It did one big circle all the way around, and we went right back to the original mix, man.
That's funny. You're like, man, just scrap, just like delete all of those changes we made. Let's just go back and, you know, dude.
Well, you learn from process of elimination, I guess, you know. And, you know, Dan Swan will mix it, and he was telling me the whole time, no, you know. And then I was like, yeah, I think it needs more vocals. I think it needs this and that. But it was just, we're just dwelling on it, you know, and that's what happens, you know. We're just used to, like I said, turning it in and going, you know. Mm-hmm.
Man. Okay. So, you know, you are, you know, doing this album, obviously you're paying a lot of attention to it. You want it to be the best album, but aside from that, you know, how were you staying busy, and what kept you sane aside from, you know, the making of the album? How'd you stay sane, or did you not?
I did. A hunting job. I'm a guide for hunting, and it actually benefited me on that, because the more people that were scared just made me busier. So, because it was an outside activity, and the last 3 years have been really good for my job, you know, doing that guiding hunting. And that's most of it. You know, I work like 7 days a week from October to April, and then I try to tour from April to October when we're in the down season. But I stayed pretty busy during all that. You know, I cashed in a little bit more money, and I was one of the ones that benefited from it. You know, I know a lot haven't, and I feel bad for them, but I lucked out and benefited on my profession.
Wow. So how long have you been in that profession of being a guide as a hunter? Just years and years and years?
Oh, yeah. I would say close to almost 30 years as well. You know, and that has a big part of me being able to keep the band going, you know, because of this. It's a seasonal thing. Like I said, 6 months on and 6 months off. And, you know, I've always had it. So as soon as we ended, we hit the road, you know, and then we come back in October and I start to work then.
And now it's all starting to like make sense with some of these song titles and the whole theme of jungle rot. Like, oh yeah, man, makes sense, dude. Okay, so you know what now that the album's out, what's the plans for 2022? Are you guys going to be hitting the road at all? Or
we're actually hitting the road June 2nd. We'll be up in Seattle, I think.
Oh, that's right. I totally saw that. Yeah, you're playing Club Surf.
Yeah. How do you know anything about that club? I never played there before.
So it's actually the people who ran a really cool club called Studio 7.
Okay.
They now rent out this place called Club Sur and do shows there. So a lot of times it's like kind of a Latin dance club, but then they it's actually turn really it nice. It's a nice place, and they turn it over for metal shows. So it's a really classy place. It's actually too classy for death metal, but you know. I'm just kidding. You guys have a nice,
you know how the show. That will help out, man. A nice place to chill. But you know, we end up wherever the tours are booked. You know, it's funny when you see some of them. You know, it's not always nice to play a new place, of course. You know, I mean, but yeah, we're excited to get on the road. We're going to go out with Internal Bleeding.
Yes.
I think it's 17 straight. And then we're going to announce another tour as soon as this one gets finished. We'll be going back out in August. And then I know we have a big festival in Mexico in September. And then we're going to work on Europe for next year.
Awesome, man. Well, you know, you're going to stay busy with your job and then also just touring. So 6 months on. And then it's not like you have 6 months off. It's 6 months doing this other career that will keep you like sleeping in different cities and every different night. So you are not going to be having any days off, sir.
No, we look forward to it, man. It's going to be fun. It's been a while since we've been out there. I know a lot of bands are having fun out there, man. They finally get a chance to go out there and, you know, the fans are turning out, but we got a couple issues with the economy and the gas. We see that, but we're going to take the bullets and keep going. You know, you can't cry about it. You got to keep going. This is what we do, you know?
Absolutely, man. And people will appreciate going out to see you guys.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay. So 30 years of playing music, but I'm sure you were really into music a lot before then. What got you into music? Were you in a musical family? Was it, you know, like a Kiss album or what was it?
I grew up, my dad was in a band. He had four brothers and they kind of played when I grew up. My dad was a singer and all the rest. My uncles were drummer, guitar players. So I was around that exposed in music early on. But what stole my soul, you know, I started out early on, found Ted Nugent, you know, and then I was fascinated by that. But what stole my soul for the underground was I remember seeing Creator. Wow. At the Cubby Bear in Chicago in 85. And I remember going to the show and up there right up front and blowing my mind, went home the next day and told my dad, I want to play guitar and bought me a guitar. And here I am today. He still got the same guitar. I mean, but yeah, here I am today, man. I mean, that's what got me started. So I owe a lot to him, you know, and the German invasion, totally, you know, destruction, Sodom, Creator. I found that early on and that's what kind of led me.
I'm sure you've had a chance to meet those guys. Have you told them that?
Oh yeah, they know. I mean, we've had privilege to have Schmier guest on our last one, the self-titled. We did some guest vocals and that's the biggest accomplishment I think I achieved for myself personally is growing up on these bands. And then, you know, here I am friends with them now. And, you know, some of them are on my albums. Who would have thought, you know, that's, you know, I idolize these bands, you know.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Now you're playing with the greats, dude.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a kid, okay, so, you know, we all have metal band t-shirts, big part of the kind of the culture of metal. What was your first band t-shirt? You know, was it whether it was metal or not? Oh. First band t-shirt as a kid.
I go back. I think it was Def Leppard. How do you say that? What was that
Hysteria album
called? Hysteria. Yeah, I remember the blue one, man. Mm-hmm. I still remember to this day. I wish I had it, man. I think that was one of them. I remember. Yeah, that was probably one of them, man. And that maybe maybe the old Blizzard of Oz tour. I remember it was a jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember another one too. Screaming for Vengeance. I had the original Screaming for Vengeance T-shirt and with the fist.
Yeah,
I remember he had his fist on the back. I had that. Them, some of those three were the ones I remember the most, man. They were the kind of the first ones, especially the Priest one. I remember getting that at the show. You know, I think that was the first one I ever bought at a show. I wish I still had it, man.
If you still had it, you could probably pay a mortgage. Those things go for a lot of money these days.
Yeah, so
vintage.
I know, absolutely. I go on eBay and check some of those prices and a lot of them, I had those shirts, you know, I'm like, oh, I had that one. I had that one. I had that one, but I have no idea what happened to them. You know, you move and you just lose them, you know,
and back in that day too,
we were used to cutting them up. Remember, you cut up a lot of shirts in the early days. I think they just end up turning the rags after that, you know,
it just ends up being a patch in the end. Right.
Right. Exactly. I still have a lot of, that's funny you say that, because I have a lot of stuff cut out. That's all I have. I'm just like, you know, storage thing of just cutouts of the front, you know.
That's cool.
I always want to make a quilt. You know, people, I see people do that. They make quilts. So I got a good handful of those. And someday I'll do that, man.
That'd be great. Awesome, man. Well,
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Obviously, being, you know, like an influential death metal band among, you know, so many of this genre that's been around for a long time now, which is crazy to think also. This is going to be a hard question for you to ask you, but as a music lover, what is your Mount Rushmore of death metal? So four most influential, and it could be American, it could be Swedish, anywhere. Your personal, Dave's personal Mount Rushmore of death metal.
That's a tough one. I'd have to go with probably, I have to say Obituary, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've always had a special part of me. I mean, they touched me too. I mean, I think we relate to them a lot, you know, we're very primitive, old school, you know, and I think Obituary would be the one. And for some reason, when I see them, they give me the shiver still every time I see them. I mean, it's just, you know, no, like no other band, you know. Yeah. The Tardy Brothers are, you know, they're incredible. I mean, that voice, you know, it never changes, and it just shivers me. That's the only band that really does that to me.
Yeah. So Obituary, who else? What else? Who do we got on there? Three more.
Oh, man. Well, for three more? Okay. That's would definitely be Sodom. I mean, Sodom's okay. Another one. I've only seen him once, and that was in America. You know, they only came here once, and we've never done festivals with them in Europe before. We've always been on same festivals, but never land on the same day. But yeah, Sodom was very special. I found them early on. You know, Sign of Evil. You know, mm-hmm. that was a very big album for me in my life. And I'm looking forward to seeing them. I know I'm going to see them again for the second time, because on that festival in Mexico, they played the night before. We played the second night. Yeah, we'll fly in the night before, because we'll be able to see them. I mean, they got all of them, Creator, Destruction, Sodom, all that night. So that's going to be unbelievable, man. Yeah. I'd have to own the third one, the Creator, of course, because it really started me out. You know, that it would go to Millie for, you know, directing me in this business.
Yeah. Right on, man.
We did the cover of Terribly Certain before. I mean, I don't know if you heard the cover we did of Creator on the last
album. I'm
going
to have to go back and check that out. Cover.
Yeah, it's really good. It came out really good. I mean, Millie hit me up right away, and you know, he loved it. I mean, it was cool, man.
That's awesome, man. All right, you got one more.
One more? Yeah. Would it be Celtic Frost, of course.
There you go. I mean,
yeah, that's another one, you know. Mm-hmm. Found them early on, and, you know, they're inventors of the, to this day, ooh, I still use it. I still use it, man.
That's awesome. Right on, man. Okay, so just a couple more goofy questions for you, dude, before I let you go. You've played a number of awesome shows, obviously killer shows. You're going down to Mexico to play that big fest. But on the other end, what's the what's the worst show that you can remember? Whether it be your guys' performance, or just like there was only one or two people there, or the equipment failure.
Well, there's always derailments, man, early on. But the one that comes to my mind, I guess first that comes right on my mind, is I remember we're on tour with Macabre in Denmark.
Yeah.
And Macabre, they're kind of like a legend. They're like a cult following over there. Yeah. They got a really good cult following, you know, and they're kind of their fans. I noticed that was a hard tour for us, man. And, you know, they're very close-minded back then. And we're in Denmark and we're playing the show. And I remember the people that were there, there was probably a good 150 to 200 at the show. And they all sat down and he turned their backs while we played. They sat down on the floor and they actually turned around and they were facing the other way while we were playing. And it was just, I never experienced nothing like that in my life. But over the years, we finally won Denmark over, touring and touring and touring. And eventually thing. We pounded them to make them like us, you know, but that one stands out the most. It was nothing. I never experienced nothing like that in my life. They actually sat on the ground under sitting on their butt and turned around the other way.
It's like you were opening for Slayer in 86, dude. That's messed.
I remember those days. Nobody could open up for Slayer back then. I mean, you'd get spit on and all that. Yep. Yeah, that was brutal. I think Hatebreed was the only one that I remember when Jamie, he actually texted me, you know, before he got that Slayer, and he was like, man, how do you think it's gonna go, man? You know, because I think Hatebreed was the only band that actually broke through to the crowd, and then it started going from there on. But like you said, every band before that never got the respect, man. Yeah. They just flipped off and gum in the hair or whatever, man. But yeah, I remember Jamie actually calling me and texting me, and I said, oh, you'll be fine, man. And sure, they blew up like that. Yeah. After that, you know, that was you know, but ever since then, I think Slayer started turning around, he started getting better bands, and that went away after that.
That's
man.
True.
But he had some horrible bands in the beginning, man. You could tell that was all management involved, man. It had to be. Because the bands didn't make sense sometimes. I mean, I forget some of them. I forget who they went out with, but they did not make sense, man, when the bands that were out with them.
Sometimes you know, and I don't need to mention bands at all, you know, not to like throw anyone under the bus, but sometimes, you know, looking back at old flyers, you can just be like, oh, okay, that was, you know, a record label push, or that was a management push.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not organic. You
exactly.
Know?
You can see it. Yeah, you can see it to this day. I mean, we see it all the time. Yeah. Well, how'd they get that tour? Well, you know exactly how they got that tour.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the way the business is. I mean, we've never been fortunate to have manager before in our life. And I think that could have been one of the biggest downfalls in my career, you know, because who knows, another might have took us to the next level, you know. But we're warriors, and we fight the underground, and we get what we get, you know.
But that's the thing, is like Jungle Rot fans are Jungle Rot fans. Like you guys might not be the biggest band in the world, but you guys have a steady stream of solid output, and you're consistently badass. And it might not hit the like peaks of like, you know, doing an Ozfest, but at right. the same time, there's not the fall of not, you know what I mean? It's like doing Mayhem Fest was big for you guys, but for the most part, you know, you guys are just playing to the mid underground and the people that love you guys, and you'll always play, you'll always get, you know, new people, but it's, you know, I think you guys are, I don't know. I think you guys are consistently badass.
That means a lot. Yeah. I mean, actually this year we're going to start just doing headlining tours. We're not going to,
that's awesome.
You know, go out and try to fight for opening slots somewhere, because that just doesn't make it fun anymore. You know, the ups, the highs and the emotions and the ups and downs that the bands go through daily is insane. And we kind of just said, it's just, you know, it's not fun anymore waiting in line to try to get this tour and that tour. And you think you got it, and the next day you don't got it. We're just going to start doing our own headlining tours and see where that takes us. You know, I think it's better, like you said. I mean, we know the people that are coming are going to be there for us, and that's what matters the most. You know, we're going to, and plus we get to do an hour plus set. You know, that's a bonus in itself.
So my friend on the show I do, he said Jungle Rot is knuckle dragging death metal. You agree with that?
We've always heard it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're very primitive. Yep. You know, I don't mind the meat and potatoes shit.
I love
it. That's what we do. Yeah, you know, there's not too many more people doing what we do, you know, so it's a kind of a good thing. You know, they can keep saying that, and, you know, I'm never trying to push the boundaries and compete with all the, you know, new bands and the tech bands. I respect that stuff, but I don't want to be in that category. You know, there's so many good bands. I mean, you know, we have our identity. It took us so many years to build that, and I don't want to change it now, because, you know, over the last 2-3 albums, you know, I noticed people coming up to me and doing interviews, and they're telling me how they know our sound right when they hear the first note or the first vocal. And that's what makes sense to me. I mean, that means we accomplished what we were trying to accomplish, because they know that right when they hear it, you know. So we're not looking to change anything. We're looking to just keep bringing what we do, you know.
How weird would that be if a Jungle Rot album came and it was like tech death, and you were just like, what?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it wouldn't make sense. I would think it would do more harm. You know, they would, no matter what, they would still find something to criticize about it.
There you go.
I mean, But for the most part, the new album's been getting a lot of good reviews.
Absolutely.
It's always going to be negative. I mean, I was a little worried about the follow-up from the self-title because we like that so much. But
yeah.
I think this one's worthy. I think this one stands up to it. I think it's it stands, you know, right next to it.
Absolutely, man. So, dude, it's been a pleasure to chat with you, to reconnect after, you know, we chatted with you on Mayhem Fest all those years ago. But my last question, if you can show us, feel free to show us. But either way, tell us, pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it.
Well, pick this one. I'll pick the last one. I don't know if you can see it. It's right here.
Oh,
I just got it done
okay.
2 years. Trigger finger.
Oh, wow.
From playing guitar. I ended up getting trigger finger and I had to get the surgery 2 years ago. It got to the point where I couldn't last tour. I remember before I went into the surgery, I used to have to go. So the pain was so hard. It was so locking, man. I just couldn't take it anymore. And then I went in and got the surgery and it's fixed now. I mean, but now this one's starting to lock up in time, you know? Yeah, I mean, that's a common thing in musicians, your hands, you know, as you get older. I'm getting up there in age and I really abused my hands over the years, but that would be the first one, that one right there, I guess.
We need some bionic hands for Dave.
I need something. I've been rubbing a lot, but it's being in that same repetitive, just holding it like this, I can feel it, man, just like this, you know, like just the repetitive all the time in the same position is what's getting me. I actually try to figure out how to play it a little different in the guitar so I don't strain it so much, you know, but I can feel it all the time I play, man.
Well, we'll go out and support you so that you can afford that surgery.
Yeah, I already got the one. I don't want to get the second one. I mean, hopefully that's take 3-4 years from now.
Totally. Dude, Dave, thank you so much, man. The new album by Jungle Rot, A Call to Arms, out now on Unique Leader. Any final words for the Northwest, dude?
We're going to be coming through soon. Mm-hmm. You know, if you guys can come and see us, it'd be great. We'll be going down the whole West Coast there and, you know, in the next couple of weeks. And it'd be great to see some familiar faces and hang out and talk about the new album and just enjoy life.
Right on, dude. Dave, thank you so much, man.
Thank you. We'll see you soon.
See you soon in Seattle, man. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.